live for something. And you must be willing to die for something.
Your stepdaddy is a revolutionary.
Your mama told me y'all been going through some things. Sometimes people need to step outside of who they are to realize what they can really be.
I mean, this is a brilliant opportunity to bring together the revolutionaries and the gang communities, and you can unite them.
Tupac. Oh, yeah. Yeah, man.
He's got a new movie.
Yeah, he's got a new movie. Stay dead and making albums and still making movies, too, man.
I hope I can do the same thing.
Y'all, we will. We'll still be making shows. Be dead. Still be sitting up here.
The lost ship.
Yeah. How are they doing this?
They were all live. I don't understand.
How many shows did they record before they died? God damn. But Tupac Shakur, the man sold like 750 million, I think, albums. Martin, like, I don't know. You know, the thing with Tupac is that some people consider him the greatest rapper ever. Some people say that the reason why he's considered to be the greatest rapper ever is because he was the one that was not only just going to be a rapper, not only going to be an artist, but he was also going to be, at some point, they say he was going to be a leader, an activist, that he was going to find himself at some point once he got all the drinking and the women out of the system.
Every time I hear that, I chuckle to myself. I'm like, really?
I'm sorry. It's 75 million albums that he sold by the time he was maybe a little bit past the time he was 25. But by the time he was 25, he considered to be the greatest artist alive, and was considered to be even though he hadn't fully grasped that responsibility, they also considered him somewhat of a black leader.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he's always talking about, I'm reflecting the neighborhood and the poverty and the streets that nobody wants to talk about. He's one of the few people to come out and say, hey, you know, besides NWA, I'm the one reflecting what's happening in the streets and poor people, especially poor black people. And Leon Parrish Crooks is his real name. His name was changed to, I think it was a Chilean leader that it was changed to, who ironically was also assassinated at some point. But with this movie, they're talking about, all right, you know something? Besides all the things that are happening with Tupac, or that have happened with Tupac, and how much he accomplished by the time he was 25, where he was tragically killed at that, they say that, you know, this movie is a once in a lifetime thing. You got to get this right, because they went out and they cloned Tupac right there.
Wait, yeah, I was going to say, wait, which one is him?
I know, you can't really tell, can you?
I'm guessing it's the guy on the left.
No, it's actually the guy on the right. That the guy on the right is called Demetrius Shipp Jr.
No, I'm saying the real Tupac is the one on the left.
Oh yeah, the one on the left. Yeah, Demetrius Shipp Jr. is the one on the right. That's the actor. And you're not gonna get an opportunity like this. It's gonna be once in a lifetime.
Right. So you got to get it right.
They cloned Tupac. They found that one mosquito that was trapped in Ember. Pull some Jurassic Park shit. Uh-huh. The one mosquito that still had his blood on his snout.
Uh-huh.
And they went out and created a clone Tupac, and they said, hey, you know something? We have to make this movie. There's no way in hell that this movie cannot be another Straight out of Compton.
Right.
Because this was meant to be. This is not casting. This is fate.
Fate.
How can you come out and mess this up? And there's a lot of people talking trash about the movie right now, and I stayed away from a lot of the criticism that's out there. Because one of the people that loved Tupac and said that Tupac had an impact on almost every artist if you were coming up in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Tupac had an influence on you. So a lot of people say, well, you know what, 50 Cent, he'd be the authority. And 50 Cent, he's like Donald Trump. He's quick to put out a tweet on Instagram or something if he don't like it. And he did not like this movie. Came out and said that this movie, and he brought up some points, and I didn't see this till afterwards, because like I said, I stayed away from a lot of the criticisms out there in the critics' reviews. But he said, right here, I'm a big Tupac fan, I just don't think that his story was done, and they said he deserved better. He said, check it out, the shit felt like I was watching a Lifetime TV movie in the theater. I wanted to change the channel. The New Edition story was better than this shit. And they're talking about the New Edition story.
Ouch.
Yeah, the New Edition story on BET.
Yeah.
And he even went on to say that, hey, look, don't think I'm just talking trash because I feel really close to this. He said, man, I saw some shit in the movie that just didn't make sense. He said, when you look at this Tupac movie, and let me see here. Oh, he says, yeah. He said, you look at this Tupac movie, and I know you want to say I'm hating, but there's a scene in it where Faith and Tupac, Faith Evans and Tupac take a picture, and they have a fucking iPhone in it.
Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I wasn't paying attention enough in the movie to know this. And I didn't want to go into the movie hating.
You know, you shouldn't. That's not our job to go in here.
No. And I didn't want to be influenced by anything.
Right.
So, you know, I wanted to see for myself if this was as bad as people were saying it. Not only just the critics, but the people who also love Tupac.
You must stand for something. You must live for something. And you must be willing to die for something.
Your stepdaddy is a revolutionary.
Your mama told me y'all been going through some things. Sometimes people need to step outside of who they are to realize what they can really be.
I mean, this is a brilliant opportunity to bring together the revolutionaries and the gang communities, and you can unite them.
You know, that's the thing that people are saying. You know, Tupac was such a complex man that they said, oh, this is going to probably be the next Malcolm X. No. No, 50 was right. This is a TV movie.
Well, and how many people from The Walking Dead are in this?
A couple. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But I hate to be the one to say it. And I'm not trying to echo just what everybody's saying out there just because I want to hate too. Hey, listen, I'm not a Tupac expert by any means. But I do know when you fucking up his story. And I don't care how many people out there, Tupac fans, defending this movie. This is I'm not going to say shitty movie because it's not a horrible film. But it's damn sure disrespectful to what they did.
It's disrespectful.
I think it's disrespectful in the sense like, and I'm not going to sit up here and say like, look, it's not that they tried to be disrespectful. They didn't. It's just that they didn't capture the complexities of Tupac. And we should have known something was wrong when one particular director, because they've been trying to get this off the ground since 2011.
Yeah.
And there are directors out there who came and went, but the most important one was probably John Singleton. John Singleton worked with Tupac at one time. I think it was on Poetic Justice.
Mm-hmm.
And he considered not only Tupac someone that he directed one time, but considered Tupac a friend. He considered Tupac somebody he was close to. And you can even see back in the day during the time that they were doing stuff together, how close they were.
To me, John Singleton, my man Tupac Shakur. You go over to him now. And, you know, we're hosting the show today, so, you know.
He's like, I don't like that motherfucker.
I know. I don't even know him. Yeah.
John Singleton, fuck him. You know, but trust me, later on that video, they do things like they race each other they clown around. They actually really, you know, they're very close people.
Yeah.
So when John Singleton says that not only is this movie going to be bad, but it's fucked up, then that's a warning. There were all kind of articles out there. Here's one where you could tell that the studio influence on this was going to be a little bit too much and they weren't going to make a good movie. He says, I didn't want to make it for many, many years. First of all, people wanted the story to be told, but I was so close to him. I was too close to tell the story of it. You have to remember, at first we had a working relationship and then a brotherhood. I saw the directors come on and something clicked in me saying, I wanted to do it. I told the company, if y'all motherfuckers want to do this, you got to get the fuck out my face and let me do this movie.
Yeah.
That's when they finally settled on a video director who's done some other things too, but the great Benny Boom, who went on to do this.
Who?
Benny Boom, yeah. Which is appropriate because he blew an opportunity right after that. You know, no disrespect to his work. And I'm not even saying that, while I don't think that this is this is a movie that the production value or the direction is really worth an icon and a legend like Tupac. I mean no disrespect to the director here, because I think there are a lot of things that went wrong with this movie. And when I say it's disrespectful, I'm talking about the people who probably just want to put this out because they want to ride on the success of something like Straight Outta Compton.
Sure.
I think it's disrespectful from the studios to do this. And this is a... They got a lot of things right in here. This is a movie where it's more frustrating because of the potential that they had. Mm-hmm. This is a movie with great casting in it. They have people in here that they cast that look just like their real life counterparts. If you know Tupac, then you know that he got his big break with Digital Underground, Shock G and Money B. And when they cast those guys, they look just like the real artist in there. I mean, granted that, you know, we don't spend a whole lot of time with them.
Yeah.
And they're mostly playing dress up. But hey, those little details, they're worth something. And the guy that plays Snoop Dogg don't look anything like Snoop Dogg. They tried. Looking like something about the Proud Family. But I'd be damned if he didn't sound just like him. There are even critics out there who, I have to say, they're being unfair, because he sounds so much like Snoop Dogg, but looks nothing like him, that they're saying, man, Snoop Dogg dubbed that shit.
Oh, wow.
One critic even went as far as to say that, and he just made his decision. And the guy that would use Snoop Dogg's real voice and was dubbed over, it looked hilarious. No, bitch, this is the real guy. That's not, you know, I mean, this guy's doing the voice right here. This guy who's doing that is a guy named Jared Ellis, who plays Snoop Dogg. Hey, look, not everybody. Snoop Dogg,
you don't have a clip?
I tried. But he sounds just like him. Believe me, the dude talking in the theater was sure to make everybody know. I'm going to go to that dude later. There was a dude talking in the theater. He just like, shit, sounds just like him. <You know? laughs> Yeah, I'm going to get to that in a little while. About even black people get tired of black people talking in theaters when it's, uh-huh. when you pass a certain point.
Sure.
But the besides the casting, the actors are good, man. This guy Demetrius Shipp Jr., I mean, besides looking like Tupac, he's doing the best that he can with the material. I mean, he embodies Tupac. A lot of people are saying that he's doing an impersonation only by the material, the weak material. Mm-hmm. But as far as being Tupac, there are times you think that is Tupac. And they got this girl that comes in called Kat Graham, and she plays Jada Pinkett. And Jada Pinkett and Tupac were friends in high school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in fact, they didn't even have a romantic relationship. They were like, he considered her a true soulmate.
Yeah.
And when you see those scenes in the movie where they're talking, it's emotional. There are certain parts in the movie where when those two actors connect, you see, again, the potential that this movie could have had.
You will never fully understand how deeply my heart feels for you. I worry that we'll grow apart, and I'll end up losing you. You bring me to climax without sex, and you do it all with regal grace. You are my heart in human form, a friend I can never replace.
Right. Hi.
California, yeah, you're already going soft on me.
Oh, I'm going soft?
So soft.
You got the tears in your eyes. The tears flow, and I'm getting soft.
You know Will Smith, like, you should have laughed between
you
two.
I know, I was just thinking that. He's just like,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
He's like,
just friends.
Are you sure that motherfucker's still dead? You didn't get no calls or nothing, did you?
Do I look stupid to you?
Yeah, I'm just asking. He's like, damn, babe, I knew him before you. I don't give a fuck. Who you on the phone with? Is that Tupac?
Oh yeah, he dead.
Yeah. But if I died and you fuck me too, I am fucking you. But you know, the problem with the movie is that scenes like that, where they should have some emotional weight, they're broken up because the movie's told in flashbacks. The beginning of the movie has him in prison talking to an interviewer.
Yeah.
And whenever you have these bits right here where they should flow into the next scene so you can feel the emotional resonance of them, they get broken up by going back to this interview or him narrating. Mm-hmm. And when they do that, the movie would have been better had it been a linear film. But probably not much better because, as I said, no disrespect to the director. I don't know if they're working with a certain budget. And they had a certain amount of time to get it done, I'm sure. I'm sure there's a lot of very heavy-handed studio interference with this, but it feels rushed. And it's some, and a lot of these scenes, like that scene right there, a lot of these things are handheld. And the only reason why that one really worked that well is because there was no one else around.
Yeah.
But there are other scenes in here where it just has no atmosphere. And it's directed heavy-handed. There's, I mean, sometimes it's directed so heavy you can hear the director calling out the direction. Yeah. Like this scene right here when Tupac is a young boy, which that kid who plays Tupac as a young boy, they don't spend any time with him. He's pretty much a no personality in here, a no personality character. And they try to have this moment where, oh, this is the moment where he became a poet because this is the first time he got his first notebook. But feel how basic this is directed. Feel how static these shots are.
Mama, thank you, Daddy.
Welcome, baby.
That'll get you a lot further than a basketball. Hey.
Thanks, Mama.
Okay, you just got the book now. Write in it. You know, act like you enjoy it. You know, there are so many scenes in there. Like that scene right there, that's the scene where they say, okay, you know what? You see the book. You see him writing.
Right.
We've established this. Let's move the fuck on. You know he likes to write. But there's never any weight on it because there is something that big happens that they don't spend a whole lot of time on it. But we never come back to feeling like that's a moment in his life that meant something. There's never this moment where he's by himself writing in this book here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see him later on. But that, you know, that's they're making a big thing out of something that they treat like a non-issue. At least in my opinion right there. And there are scenes in here where they it's clumsy because they don't know how to direct the extras around them.
Like Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Like Diary of a, not that bad. They ain't one dude like he just woke up and like, oh, fuck that. You know, if you want, we were talking about Diary of a Wimpy Kid, and that's the dude that pops up twice and they look like they drugged his ass and brought him out there. Fuck yeah, sure. I mean, I love this movie, but this and here, no, it's just they have these scenes where they could have some impact, especially with Tupac's mother in here, Afeni Shakur, played by Danai Gurira. Of course, she's Michonne on The Walking Dead, and those scenes are actually kind of powerful. I mean, again,
I figured if anybody in this was going to be good, it'd be her.
She is. But, you know, again, the script requires her to kind of be that trembling black mama. Oh. Boy, you've got to get your life together. You know, everything she says is big, and she's looking at Tupac all crazy. They are going to kill you, boy, if you don't get your shit together.
So they got the budget together, and it just wasn't enough for Viola Davis.
No, he couldn't afford the snot. But here, if you look at this, they got extras that actually look like they're not supposed to even be in the scene. They have two people talking in the background. You got somebody who just stopped and just looked at what they're doing right into the camera.
I'm worried about
it. Ain't nothing to be worried about.
Like all black leaders, you have a bullseye on your back, and today it just got bigger.
But I ain't no black leader. Not yet.
And how you not a black leader?
Cut! You know, she looked like an actor, like an extra that came on, like, I'm going to show them my skills. And that is an actress, but that shot is just one time. That's not really an extra, but she's treated like that. It's just, that's one shot that meant nothing. It's just thrown in there to show, like, oh, people are listening heavy to your conversation. And then they move on. Now, she's the one that really stands out. I like the way they just stop. You get your ass on out the shot. Take it from the top, shit. But they got these others in the background. This is a powerful scene right here. And they got people in the back just laughing, having a good time.
The vice president was just talking about you on the TV. Baby, you have to understand. With the Panthers, it wasn't that we had guns or black leather. It was because of our message. We were transforming minds. They are gonna come after you with everything you love. They gonna give you the tools that you need to destroy yourself.
Meanwhile, Uncle Leroy and Aunt Betty back there eating ribs, having a good time.
Acting like they don't hear this loud conversation that's going on right next to them. Now, I know she said when we were the Panthers, but it sounded like pandas, and it threw me off.
Yeah. You know what threw you off? Again, them Negroes playing dominoes in the background. You know, looking like, girl, she need to leave that boy alone.
Arma, leave that boy alone. He ain't listening to you.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of things in here where it could be powerful, but they just don't know how to frame these shots. There's clumsy direction in here. They even got, talk about TV direction. They even got some scenes in there where, it's directed so badly. Being that they were, his mother was in the Panther Party. She's being spied on by the government.
Sure.
And they got a scene where I wish I had it. I wish I could show y'all this scene. There's a scene where she's walking down the street with little Tupac and his sister, and there's a guy in the background. What I mean by bad framing, they, you know, you can tell who the FBI agent is because while they're walking, there's one guy like one white dude in a sea of black people with shades on, and then when Tupac's mom looks back, he's like, oh, look at this graffiti right here. You know, and you even wonder why, because you even wonder why she's being followed, because when she confronts the guy, like, yeah, yeah, black bitch, I was following. It's like, why?
Well, why hide it?
Why you even hiding, man? There's another scene where they're out in front of Tupac's home, and they're talking to this drug dealer that's trying to supply for the family. You know, give, you know, they're not drugs, but he's trying to like bring groceries in for the family and whatnot. And they want to show you kind of the contradiction of a lot of these characters. And in this particular scene, it's so bad. He's talking to Tupac and he's telling them about, hey man, you know, always respect your mother. No matter what she gets into, she's always your mother, because she has some problems too later.
Sure.
Drug problems and whatnot. And while he's talking to Tupac, right in front of them, this dude passes by, and the dude's talking to him like, hold on, man, look at this nigga here. And he goes over there and tackles the dude. No setup like a nice tracking shot across the street where they're like, hold on, Pac, hold on. And you get this following scene with him building up tension.
Yeah.
No, it's a dude who just walks by in front of the camera, you know, and then beats the guy up right there. Why? So that Tupac can see the violence and contradiction of his world. They don't try to have any sort of clever direction or atmosphere in this movie. And it's annoying. There's even actors and actresses in the movie who look like they're going to like add more to the film, and they don't. Maggie, what's her name?
Yeah, Lauren Graham.
Lauren Cohen.
Cohen, right.
Yeah. Who y'all know is Maggie from The Walking Dead. She has two lines in the movie.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, she got two lines in the movie. She's supposed to be this big influence on Tupac, the one that helped him with his poetry and got him the audition with, Digital Underground.
Uh-huh.
Once that's done, she's out.
Oh. Now,
unless there's another cut that's edited out there that I ain't seen. You know, the extended cut, which I don't need to see. There are times when the movie turns into a music video. They have parts where, now, it's one thing to like have a long sequence where Tupac is just, the actor is lip syncing to Tupac's music.
Right.
And it's a long scene taken up valuable storytelling time.
Or padding out the running time.
No. Actually, it should be as long as it is. There should be more stuff taken up to like tell the story. But there are parts in the movie where it's not this guy in a booth lip syncing to Tupac. It turns into a music video. They shoot it like a music video. The music's playing. They even got points where his mom lip syncs a line to the song. You know, these are moments where they should be telling story in this movie, because what happens is that later on in the film, when you have something happens where they drop the narration and they drop the interview, because they keep coming back to this interview that he's doing, and once they drop that interview, you're thinking, okay, cool, it's a weird thing to drop it right here since you set it up.
Yeah.
But the interview, it ends when he gets out of jail and starts working for Death Row Records.
Okay.
And at that point, you're thinking, all right, I don't think it's going to be a great movie at this point because they've already gone too late. But at least we'll get less interference. It'll be more of a linear story. And no, they know that they got a supervillain in here. Suge Knight.
Oh.
Suge Knight, who's who's played by a guy named Dominic L. Santana.
How's this dude? Because with the glasses on, he looks even more like Suge Knight than the last guy.
That's the thing. You look at him right here, he's got some real nice eyes, man. You know what I'm saying? Like real kind eyes. But he puts those shades on, Black Kingpin, you know? Uh-huh. He takes them off and it's kind of like, oh, you don't look so bad.
Right.
Because there's times that he's beating people up in the movie and it's just like, nah, I'm not buying it, man. You look too nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's, it's at this point where we should be entering Tupac's, his most complex phase. Well, this is the point where we should be talking about the guy that contradicted himself so much.
Sure.
And not really. This is part of the movie where it's Suge Knight's movie.
Mm.
It turns into a black gangster film where Suge Knight is actually doing Goodfellas type shit. Or he's doing shit that they did in The Untouchables. They're all having dinner around a table and he goes up and starts, you know, beating up on people. And the whole time, Tupac is not even a big part of it. He's just an observer. He just watches Suge Knight beat people up and then sits back and just laughs about it. And this is a fatal mistake for this movie because it's at this point where this is where we saw that Tupac was being torn between two different things. He wanted to be something different and he wanted to actually, and he was in the middle of changing. But because he was so wrapped up in his lifestyle and under the influence of such a, you know, a dangerous and crazy and charismatic guy like Suge Knight, that should have been the balance. But no, they want to make a hood movie at this point, like a 90s hood film. And it's too bad because they capture later on in the film that complexity of Tupac for a moment, especially when he's confronted again by Jada Pinkett. And I'm thinking, all right, you know something, at least we're getting something interesting right here. At least this is something that is trying to touch on the Tupac that they should be telling you about. This is where he gets confronted by Jada at a club after a show, after he's become the Tupac that everybody knows. She's like, nah, nigga, I know you.
It's happened to you.
What happened to me? I got shot 5 times. That's what happened to me. What happened to you? You used to be damn.
It's stupid. And it's dangerous.
It's dangerous getting shot too.
The man I knew wanted to use his voice to educate. To bring people together.
If he coming at me, he gonna get dealt with.
So can nobody tell you nothing, huh? Huh?
Not about this.
And then Jada Pinkett came out and said, that shit never happened. And I'm just like, well, I can't catch a break with this thing.
You know, movies do that all the time. They have those scenes that didn't really happen. And you're like, yeah, but wouldn't it be great if they did? Or we need some way to sum up. Because they probably had several conversations that led to that. And it's like, we don't have time for that.
She's like, but no, that never happened. We never argued about that shit. I never came backstage to a show like that. There's an article out there where she's saying that. And I get it, too. Martin is right. They do this with biopics all the time.
Sure.
Where something is exaggerated or they have to change something for dramatic effect. They have to consolidate characters. But you ain't got people out there calling the shit on it like this. Especially when you got something like that's the one thing you're like, this is kind of good. No, that shit is bullshit. It never happened. I'm like, well, okay. I tried.
I told him to stick up for himself.
You know, this is, and it's funny because somebody put up a tweet. They said, you know, how many times is Will Smith going to be looking at Jada like this? Whenever she brings up Jada, whenever she brings up Tupac.
It's funny. I was just looking at Jada on Gotham right before I came here. And that actress, she's got it down.
Yeah. That actress is very good, man. Like I said, that actress, her name is, let me see right here.
She could use a little more sass, but for the most part, she's got it.
No, that actress is great. And even Jada Smith, Kat Graham is her name. And even Jada Smith said, you know what? Demetra Shipp and her, they much love to them. They did a great job. Just what you're in is bullshit, you know? you know, and she, hey, if anybody gets to call it, it's her. She gets she was very close with Tupac. The thing with this is that this had a vibe that it could have taken advantage of, and it didn't. That's what I mean by there's so much potential here, because there's so much in here about Tupac coming from a background of a heritage of black activism. You know, his mother, his stepfather, even his father being Big Panthers to the point that where they are, you know, wanted by the FBI. Mm-hmm. His godmother's still over in Cuba for killing a patrol officer, a security guard, or something. You know, with this, and also Tupac was, you know, by the time that he was during his final days in his life, he was a wise man, just trapped up in a young man's world. You know, he had all this excess and all this, every desire could be filled easily. And, you know, this is something where that is what should have been explored. That guy that was trying to change near the end of his life and never had the chance because he was just ahead of his time. He achieved success too early. You know, he gained wisdom too early, and it really made him feel bad because he was so wise beyond his years that people, they put so much responsibility on him. Mm-hmm. It kind of broke him in a way. You know, people were looking at him to be a leader when he didn't want to be.
Yeah.
And that's, none of that is really, those small details are never really explored at the end of this movie. If you really, this, and I, you know, I stand by this when I say it. This movie could have been the next Malcolm X. Spike Lee's movie?
Sure, but that's a pretty lofty goal there. I think you're going to be the next Malcolm X.
No, because this is, I'm not saying it has to be Malcolm X, but it had the elements there if they had the right storytelling and direction to do it.
What's your name?
Malcolm Little.
No, that's the name of the slave masters who own your family. You don't even know who you are. Who are you?
Say, Roseland. Roseland!
Now, you can already see how much style this movie is directed with, and it's a period piece, too. But I'm not saying that this movie should aspire to be Malcolm X, and Malcolm X was a totally different person. But this movie, you're dealing with an epic figure, and it should have had an epic treatment, and it doesn't. This shit is a TV movie. And if some people out there feel like that they got what they wanted, because look, I'm not a Tupac expert. There are people out there who know way more about Tupac than I ever would. You know, once he died, I was kind of done. There were people still buying CDs and shit, and I was just like, I can't keep up no more, man. The Negro's gone. I can't keep up no more.
Well, I'm disappointed to hear you say this, because as you just compared Tupac to Malcolm X, I don't see that comparison. I would love it if there was a movie that showed me how you can equate those two.
Well, you're asking me to compare him to the man Malcolm X. I'm talking about the movie. And because a lot of people believe, like, he wouldn't have been Malcolm X. That's a lofty thing to aspire to anyway. But his story had a lot of similarities.
Mm-hmm.
A man, you know, about this man who was slowly going on to change from one thing to another thing, to be, you know, to actually being a wise person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they should have captured here. But instead, at the end, it man, this shit turns into one of those black gangster movies that they release on DVD.
Like the kind that Tupac was in back in the 90s.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, some shit like he was in, and that's what they really, and that's what they push. And I, you know, to me, that's a missed opportunity. On a sinful level, and the production in this is so bad. That, but $60 million. I know that ain't big, but
isn't that the same? Didn't it have the same budget as God, what am I saying? Thank you, Straight Outta Compton.
I'm not sure, but I know Straight Outta Compton to look as fake as some of this shit. With $60 million, you could have afforded to shoot in a real hotel room. Not a set where you got this fake background back there.
Okay, I'm glad you showed that clip. So you got the actor who played Biggie in Notorious, and he's playing the same character again.
Yeah, exactly.
How is he here?
Shit, the same thing he was in the last movie. He's Biggie.
I mean, because the fact that you could play, you know, as an actor, you could play this character in multiple movies makes me wonder if this Demetrius Shipp will get to play Tupac again in some other biopic.
No, they fucked that up. Yeah. They're gonna get that hologram out before they get in.
Everybody seems to think he was good.
No. And like you asked, I mean, yeah, the same dude from the last movie. What, I mean, how many times can he, how many different ways can he play Biggie? You know? Let me try this again. Baby, baby. No, hold on. Baby, baby. oh, baby, baby. Oh, fuck, man. Come on. You know, shit, there's only one way to play him. And that in the movie just looks bad. They have a lot of scenes.
I mean, that looks real bad right there.
That's some shit from the Adam West Batman right there.
Yeah. I was thinking about like a Zack Snyder Batman. But yeah, it has that green screen effect.
It's not a green screen. It's a plastic. It's a cardboard background.
It's a matte painting. Yeah. It looks like a matte cardboard.
I'm just like, wow. That's what I mean by disrespect. On so many levels, you get one of the greatest, if not the greatest, rapper ever. Not to consider to be just a great rapper, but an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And then you give him this bargain basement treatment right here. I should give this some more bullshit, but there's a lot in here that I say, you know what? To the respect of these actors here, a lot of these people that tried their best to bring the vision and thought that they were probably doing something bigger, it's them that I actually am not going as far as to give this a bullshit. I would give this a rental, but I'm talking about a low rental, man.
Damn.
A low rental. It's almost an embarrassment. And for those people who really, because I know some, I read some reviews where people are like, well, I got my Tupac movie. Oh, I'm sorry if you didn't get yours. Well, I'm fucking sorry if you want a cheap ass Tupac then. I'm sorry if my tastes are a little bit, my standards are a little higher. I don't know what to tell you. No disrespect to you, but fuck you. I want a better movie. It's not even a matter that about being Tupac. It's just not a very good movie, man.
I want to read the good reviews because I've only seen bad things.
Yeah. Go ahead, brother. You're not getting it here. I don't know what to tell you. Sorry if people out there getting their feelings hurt behind it. How about requesting a better fucking film? Hey, how the Sharks, man?
They didn't piss me off like that.
They have the Tupac of shark movies out there. It didn't upset you? Nah, people. Hey, go see it.
Why the cameras all on me? Why me? Because I'm Tupac.
They are going to give you the tools that you need to destroy yourself.
We must not hate those who have done wrong to us. For as soon as we hate them, we become just like them.